Have you ever looked at a departure board and thought, we cracked supersonic travel 50 years ago and then just gave up? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, and that question has been eating at me since Boom Supersonic rolled out the XB-1 demonstrator and started making very specific promises about an airplane called Overture. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. Boom Supersonic is a Denver-based company that wants to build a Mach 1 7 airliner carrying 64 to 80 passengers across oceans in roughly half the time of anything flying today. New York to London in 3.5 hours. San Francisco to Tokyo in under 6. That is the pitch. Now, the obvious question. We had Concorde. It flew for 27 years, and it is sitting in museums. Why does Boom think they can succeed where arguably the most elegant machine in aviation history could not? Here is what most people miss. Concorde's retirement in 2003 was not purely a technology failure. It was an economics failure layered on top of a political failure. Concorde burned fuel at roughly 3 times the rate per passenger mile of a Boeing 747. It could only go supersonic over water because of sonic boom restrictions over land. And it only ever served 2 operators, British Airways and Air France. The development was government-funded. The ticket prices were astronomical, and the fleet was tiny, 14 aircraft in service at its peak. That is not a viable commercial program. That is a technology demonstrator that happened to sell champagne at 60,000 feet. Boom's argument is that 5 decades of progress in aerodynamics, materials, and propulsion have fundamentally changed the math, and some of that argument holds up. Let me walk through what is different this time. First, materials. Concorde's fuselage was aluminum. At Mach 2, aerodynamic heating pushed skin temperatures past 127 degrees Celsius. That limited the aircraft's speed and its service life. Overture's design calls for advanced carbon fiber composites and titanium structures that handle sustained high temperatures with far less weight penalty. Lighter airframe means less thrust required, means less fuel burned. That is the single most important variable in the entire program. Second, aerodynamics. Boom has spent years in computational fluid dynamics refining a contoured fuselage shape designed to reduce wave drag. Concorde was designed in the 1960s with slide rules and wind tunnels. The iterative design capability we have now is orders of magnitude more sophisticated. Boom claims their shaping work, combined with a gull-wing planform, produces significantly lower drag at transonic and supersonic speeds than Concorde achieved. The data on this is still mostly internal, so take it with appropriate skepticism, but the physics argument is sound. Third, and this is where it gets really interesting, the engine. This has been Boom's biggest challenge and biggest pivot. They originally planned to use existing engine cores and build a custom nacelle around them. That did not work. None of the major engine manufacturers initially signed on. Then in 2022, Rolls-Royce walked away from the partnership. Boom eventually partnered with Florida Turbine Technologies and is developing a bespoke engine called Symphony. This is a medium bypass turbofan designed from scratch for efficient supersonic cruise. Now, I need to be honest with you here. Developing a clean sheet jet engine is one of the hardest things humans do in engineering. There are exactly 3 companies on Earth that have successfully brought a new large commercial turbofan to market in the last 30 years. Boom is not one of them. Symphony is the single highest risk element of the entire Overture program, and it is the piece that either makes the economics work or does not without an engine that hits its specific fuel consumption targets. The whole business case unravels, period. The data tells an interesting story when you look at the order book. Boom has announced commitments from United Airlines for 15 aircraft, Japan Airlines, and the United States Air Force for executive transport evaluation. Those are real names with real reputations. But commitments are not binding purchase orders with penalty clauses. In aerospace, letters of intent are common, and cancellations are equally common. Remember, Concorde had over 100 reservations from airlines around the world before any of them actually took delivery. Almost all of them walked away. Let's talk about the sonic boom problem, because this is the regulatory wall that Concorde never climbed. Current Federal Aviation Administration regulations under FAR 91.817 essentially ban civil supersonic flight over the United States. Overture at Mach 1.7 produces a sonic boom. Boom's plan is to fly supersonic only over water, at least initially, which limits the route network to transoceanic pairs. New York to London works. New York to Los Angeles does not. Now, NASA has been doing extraordinary work on this with the X-59 Questet aircraft, which is designed to prove that a shaped sonic boom can be reduced to a quiet thump on the ground. If NASA's flight data over communities leads to new noise standards, that could eventually open overland supersonic corridors. But that regulatory change is likely a decade away at minimum. So Overture, as designed, is an overwater airplane for the foreseeable future. What about sustainability? This is where Boom has made a bold and somewhat controversial claim. They have stated that Overture will run on 100% sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF. On one hand, that is exactly the right aspiration. On the other hand, SAF production today accounts for less than 1% of global jet fuel supply. The price premium is substantial, and an airplane that burns more fuel per seat mile than a subsonic widebody needs more SAF per passenger than a Boeing 787, covering the same route. The sustainability claim is technically possible, but practically dependent on a SAF supply chain that does not yet exist at scale. Here is the timeline picture, and I want to give you the honest version. Boom originally targeted first flight of Overture around 2026 and entry into service around 2029. Those dates have slipped. The XB-1 demonstrator, a 1/3 scale technology demonstrator, made its first flight in March of 2024. That was a milestone worth celebrating. But XB-1 is a single-seat aircraft with different engines, different materials, and different aerodynamics than Overture. It proves some concepts. It does not prove the airplane. Overture's current projected timeline puts first flight somewhere around 28 or 29, with entry into service in the early 2030s. Given the engine development risk and the certification complexity of a supersonic transport, many industry analysts consider even those dates optimistic. So where does that leave us? Is Boom building the future of flight, or the next entry in the long list of supersonic startups that ran out of runway? I think the honest answer is somewhere in between. The physics works. Supersonic travel is not science fiction. We did it in 1947 with Chuck Yeager and commercially in 1976 with Concorde. The question has always been economics, not physics. Can you build a supersonic airliner that airlines can operate profitably at a ticket price passengers will pay? Boom's target is a business class fare, not Concorde-level pricing. If Symphony hits its fuel burn numbers, if SAF costs come down, if the carbon composite structure delivers the weight savings, and if the order book converts to firm contracts, the math might close. That is a lot of ifs. But every revolutionary aircraft program in history had a lot of ifs at this stage. What I find genuinely encouraging is that the market demand is real. Business travelers and premium leisure passengers demonstrably value time. Airlines have shown willingness to invest. And the technology gaps that killed Concorde's economics, the fuel burn, the materials limitations, the inability to iterate designs computationally, those gaps have narrowed dramatically. What I find genuinely concerning is the engine Symphony is the long pole in the tent, and clean sheet engine programs have humbled companies far larger and more experienced than Boom. My sources for today's segment include Aviation Week's coverage of the Overture program, reporting from the Air Current on the Symphony engine development, NASA's published data from the Kiest Low Boom Research Program, and Boom's own technical disclosures. I would encourage you to read all of them and draw your own conclusions. That is the supersonic bet in a nutshell. The Overture story is far from written. Head over to RadioHangar.com if you want to dig deeper. I'm Vector. Fly smart out there.